Thank you.
That's as far as we'll go. She probably would like it over.
I guess Sarah didn't make it back, huh? Okay.
Must have been having fun.
Hi, Sarah.
Do we need that thing on?
No, we don't. It's just not part of my ritual to turn it on
right.
or off.
To
turn it on or off.
Oh.
The white sound.
Sutra books, chant before the Dharma, and then we'll save it for after. But...
Oh, wow.
There's blueberries in there.
With the coconut stuff?
Yes.
Holy moly.
No sugar.
You know? Wu Wei. Who knew? I've never given a talk with my mouth full.
It's the first. We've never chanted before the Dharma talk with you either.
No. Unsurpassed penetrating and perfect karma
is rarely met with even in 100,000 million countless ghosts, having it to see and listen to remember and accept. I vow to chase the truth of the Tathagata's ways.
Words.
Words and ways.
Mm-hmm.
Heat's on now.
Good. I came across this guided meditation by Thanissaro Bhikkhu that I really like. And it's a little... it's not a very poetic guided meditation. But what I love about it is it actually teaches people how to meditate, how to actually begin the process of sitting down, like if we were sitting down by ourselves, and how to establish the mental awareness, the mind awareness that we need to sit still. And then how to slowly come to being in our body and being aware of our breathing. So, it's pretty simple. And as I read it, I'll comment. I'm going to read it to you. Sit comfortably erect without leaning forward or backward, left or right. Close your eyes and think thoughts of goodwill. Actually think thoughts of goodwill. Mm-hmm. Thoughts of goodwill go first to ourself. Because if you can't think goodwill for yourself, if you can't feel a sincere desire for your own happiness, there's no way you can truly wish for the happiness of others. So just tell yourself, may I find true happiness. Remind yourself that true happiness is something that comes from within. So this is not a selfish desire. In fact, if you find and develop the resources for happiness within you, you're able to radiate it out to other people. It's a happiness that doesn't depend on taking anything away from anyone else. It's right here. So now, with this feeling of goodwill sitting down, spread goodwill to other people. First, people who are close to your heart, your family, your parents, your very close friends. May they find true happiness as well. Then spread those thoughts out in ever-widening circles. People you know well, people you don't know so well, people you like, people you know and are neutral about, and even people you don't like. Don't let there be any limitations on your goodwill. For if there are, there will be limitations on your mind. Now spread thoughts of goodwill to people you don't even know, and not just people. All living beings of all kinds in all directions, east, west, north, south, above and below, out to infinity, may they find true happiness. So this is connecting with why we're doing this practice. It's connecting with the Bodhisattva vow. It's connecting with loving kindness. It's connecting with happiness and a buoyant mind. It's connecting with our own desire to be happy. This is why we're sitting down. This is why we're here. Then bring our thoughts back to the present, right here. If we want true happiness, we have to find it in the present. For the past is gone, and the future is an uncertainty. So we have to dig down into the present. What do we have right here? We've got the body, sitting here and breathing. We've got the mind, thinking and aware. So bring all these things together. Think about the breath and then be aware of the breath as it comes in and goes out. Keeping our thoughts directed to the breath, that's mindfulness. Being aware of the breath as it comes in and out, that is alertness. Keep those two aspects of the mind together. Mindfulness and alertness. If you want, you can use a meditation word to strengthen your mindfulness. So if we're having trouble locating our breath and staying with it, Thanissaro Bhikkhu recommends try Buddho, B-U-D-D-H-O, which means awake. Think Bud with the in-breath. Think Do with the out-breath. Bu-do. Very simple stuff. Think awake. Think in, out. In, out, instead of all the gunk. Just in and out. And then just try to breathe as comfortably as possible in the beginning. A very concrete way of learning how to provide for our own happiness in the immediate present, and at the same time strengthening our alertness, is to let ourselves breathe in a way that's comfortable. Not any made-up way. Not pranayama, not breathe from your belly, not this, that, the other thing. Just breathe. Well, how am I comfortable breathing? Experiment. This whole thing is a big experiment. Experiment to see what kind of breathing feels best for the body right now. It might be long breathing, short breathing, in long, out short, or in short, out long, heavy or light, fast or slow, shallow or deep. Once we find a rhythm that feels comfortable, at this moment, stay with it for a while. Just be present to that. Stay with it. Learn to savor the sensation of the breathing. So once we establish a contact with our breath, we want to begin. It's like feeling. How does the breath feel in our nose, in our throat, or our lungs? What's the sensation of breathing? Just how does it savor it? This is like smelling a flower. It's like drinking tea. Enjoying our breathing, enjoying our body, comfortable. Generally speaking, the smoother the texture of the breath, the better. It just means that we're settling. Think of the breath not simply as the air coming in and out of the lungs. But as the entire energy flow that courses through the body with each in and out breath. All the way from the tips of our toes to our nostrils, from our nostrils to the tips of our toes, through our entire body. Be sensitive to the texture of that energy flow. It doesn't say the energy flow should be this way. It doesn't say the breath should be that way. It says be sensitive to how it is. That's all. Just be sensitive to how it is. Feel the texture of our breath, of our body. You may find that the body changes after a while. One rhythm or texture may feel right for a while, and then something else will feel more comfortable. Learn how to listen and respond to what the body is telling us right now. What kind of breath energy does it need? How can we best provide for that need? If we feel tired, maybe try to breathe in a way that energizes the body. If we feel tense, try to breathe in a way that's relaxing. Still sitting here, just feeling that sensation, savoring the texture, recognizing the transitions that are going on with each breath. listening, being informed by this process. What's happening in this experiment? If our mind wanders off gently, bring it back. If it wanders off 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, bring it back. Bring it back 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. Don't give in. Don't give in. This quality is called ardency. In other words, as soon as we realize that the mind has slipped away, we bring it back. We bring it back. We don't spend time aimlessly sniffing at the flowers, looking at the sky, or listening to the birds. We have work to do. Work in learning how to breathe comfortably. Learning how to breathe comfortably. How to let the mind settle down in a good space here in the present moment. The initiation here of goodwill, happiness in the beginning, is about establishing this good space. So when we come into meditation, we want to establish a good space. We don't want to come charging in and just sit down and go, hum. And then the bell rings and it's over and we go, hum, and we're out of here. No, it's really about taking care of our state of mind and being quite aware of the transition. This is what will nourish us. And it's actual work, learning how to breathe comfortably. So when the breath starts feeling comfortable, we can start exploring it in other areas of our body. If we simply stay with the comfortable breath in a narrow range, oh, I'm comfortable with my breath right here. We'll tend to doze off. The monotone breath. So consciously expand our awareness. A good place to focus first is right around the navel. Locate that part of the body in our awareness. Where is it right now? Then notice, how does it feel there as we breathe in? How does it feel when we breathe out? Watch it for a couple of breaths and notice if there's any sense of tension or tightness in that part of the body, either with the in-breath or with the out-breath. Is it tensing up as we breathe in? Are we holding on to the tension as we breathe out? Are we putting too much force on the out-breath? If we catch ourselves doing any of these things, just relax. Think of the tension dissolving away in the sensation of the in-breath, the sensation of the out-breath. So we enter the sensation and texture of our breathing, and we can actually ride it in. Exhale, let go. In. Exhale, let go. Dissolve. If we want, we can think of the breath energy coming into the body right there at the navel, working through any tension or tightness that we might feel there. And then we move our awareness. Here, he says, to the right, but another part of our body. From here, say to the right hand corner of our abdomen and follow the same three steps. Locate that general part of the body in our awareness. Notice how it feels as we breathe in, how it feels as we breathe out. If we sense any tension or tightness in the breath, just let it relax. Let things dissolve in the exhalation. And, you know, we move to the left side, to the lower left corner of the abdomen, and then we move to our solar plexus, and then we move to our right flank, to our left flank, to the middle of our chest, to the base of our throat, to the middle of our head. And we want to be careful with the breath energy in the head. Think of it very gently coming in, not only through the nose, but also through the eyes, the ears, down from the top of the head, in from the back of the neck, very gently working through and loosening up any tension we may feel, say, around our jaws, the back of our neck, the occipital region, around our eyes, around our face, our cheeks, our lips, our tongue, our teeth, even where our teeth go into our gums at the roof of our mouth. Sensing this, feeling it, feeling the actual possible tightness of our gums. The eyeballs and the eye sockets, the temples. Just becoming aware of this, exploring our entire body. So from there, we might go down our back, out the legs to the tips of the toes, the spaces between the toes. And again, focusing on a particular part of the body, notice how it feels with the in-breath and the out-breath. Relax any sensation of tension or tightness so that the breath energy can flow more freely. And then move on until we've reached the tips of our toes. And we can repeat this again. Beginning at the back of our neck and going down the shoulders, through our arms, past our wrist, and out through our fingers. We can repeat this survey of the body as many times as we like until the mind feels ready to settle down. So these are little exercises when we're sitting here doing zazen, trying to figure out what shikantaza is, that can allow us to actually be present and maybe fall into shikantaza. Because it's unapproachable. But by being aware of this sensation, of the texture of our breath, of our body, of our posture, this sensitivity, this savoring, is incredibly important. So then we let our attention return to any spot in the body where it feels most naturally settled and centered. Simply let our attention rest there. At one with the breath. We might feel our breath right here in our diaphragm. And just be there with it. At the same time that we're doing that, let the range of our awareness spread out so it fills the entire body. So part of the process here is we're not just isolating our breath, we're using our breath to access the entire volume of our whole body and sensory awareness from our toes to the top of our head. We're opening up to feeling the backs of our ears, the backs of our necks, the sunlight on it or the cool breeze from the crack in the window or whatever. We're creating an awareness of our entire breath energy in our body. At the same time, let the range of your awareness spread out so that it fills the entire body like the light of a candle in the middle of a room. Right from the solar plexus, say. Right from the belly. Or even right from the top of the chest. Just the light. Filling up a dark room, the cavernous body. The candle flame is in one spot, but its light fills the entire room. So the process is over time where, like, our body is like this alive thing, right? From fingertip to toe tip, just alive, lit up from within, rising with the breath, letting go with the exhalation, filling, letting go, filling, letting go. Or, like a spider on a web, the spider is in one spot, but it knows the whole body. So here we are in our solar plexus. But we know our calf. We know our toe. We know our buttock. We know our skull, our eye socket, all at the same time. All this is just happening. So, like a spider on a web, the spider is in one spot, but it knows the whole web. Be keen on maintaining that broadened sense of awareness. And we get to this by working through our body from initially establishing a good space. Beginning to create a relationship with our breath and our posture and a trust in that space. And then exploring that space, bringing that breath to our body all throughout it. So be keen on maintaining that broadened sense of awareness. It's a little bit like a balloon. You'll find that it tends to shrink, like a balloon with a small hole in it. So keep broadening its range, thinking whole body, whole body. Breathe in the whole body, from the top of the head down into the toes. Think of the breath energy coming in and out of the body through every pore. Our forearms are alive. The hair on our forearms are alive. The backs of our ears are alive. The backs of our neck, our backs, our bellies, our thighs. All of this is alive. We're becoming friends. Make a point of staying with this centered, broadened awareness as we can. There's nothing else we have to think about right now. Nowhere else to go. This is so incredibly important. We come here to do this. There is nothing else we have to think about right now. This is exactly our work. Nowhere else to go. Nothing else to do. Just stay with this centered, broadened awareness of the present. Likewise, when the bell rings, we don't just leap up. We gather our awareness. We slowly become aware of our limbs. We let them out. We allow the blood to flow. But we come back. We don't just jump into action. we actually want to give some respect to the effort we've given to sit still and be aware. We want that to continue into our motion. As we untangle our legs and stand up, as we fluff the cushion that we're sitting on, this whole process is meant to be a transition, and we stand up. So think about how much effort went into getting ourselves centered. Don't throw it away. Something to pay very close attention to is toward the end of meditation, the completion of the meditation period, and how we want to quickly, we get like, when's this going to be over? Is it going to be over? Are they going to ring the bell soon? And we begin to lose our state of mind. We begin to lose that centered feeling. What is that? That is highly, I'll say, correlated with our activities in the world when it comes to completion. And how we lose ourselves just at what might be the most important time in a project or in a relationship or in a contract or in a musical performance or a painting. We want to finish it. It's over. But no, those last few minutes are incredibly important. To allow ourselves to breathe through them and be with them. So the first step in leaving is, it's like the reverse of the start, is to spread thoughts of goodwill once more to all the people around us. These are thoughts of goodwill for our Sangha, the people right with us. Radiating that. And then, of course, extending it out infinitely. Then, before we open our eyes, remind ourselves that even though we're going to have our eyes open, we want our attention to stay centered in the body, at the breath. Kinyin is just the extension of zazen. Walking. So we want to maintain the center as long as we can, as we get up, walk around, talk, listen, whatever. The interesting thing about this maintenance is it's not about holding on to something. It's about the awareness, the sensation, the sensitivity and texture of the breath in relationship to the posture. And rather than holding on to it, we want to feel how long that awareness can extend. And when it's gone, it's gone, but we notice it's gone. The more fully we attune ourselves to the sensation and the texture, the more we can come back to that place at different times in our day. It becomes like a sensation that's home. In other words, the skill of leaving meditation lies in learning how not to leave it, regardless of whatever else we may be doing. So, what I like about this is it establishes a state of mind that we want to create, the space we can be in. And then it establishes a relationship with our body and breath. And then it establishes an experiment of exploration throughout our entire body, bringing us to an awareness of the different parts of our body. And then it asks us to be as best we can be aware of this entire ball of energy that we are. Like it's a balloon. One exercise, we haven't done it, but just sitting, imagining that there's a beach ball on our lap, right here. That's actually sort of the extension of our belly. Our belly goes, like a beach ball, and feel this. Sitting just like Zazen with our eyes open, downcast about 60 degrees, and breathing, our belly extending all the way out to the fingertips and the arms, as though the arms are being held up by that ball. Extending ourselves, our awareness, our field, as though we're... So when we get up and move around, it's like we're walking, we're like we're in water, some viscous fluid that's both providing buoyancy and resistance. So the water lets our hands rise, float, but also when we want to push them down, there's a little bit of resistance, but it's not like 500 pounds of resistance against us. There's resistance, so we have to be aware of our hands. Likewise, getting up in our body and sitting down and walking as we walk through the room, there should be a sense of awareness of our body in relationship to other people's bodies, spatial awareness. That is a sensitivity, an awareness that actually begins to cue into what I'll call pre-verbal connection and communication. An awareness of one another before our thoughts. And maybe an awareness so that when we're standing with one another, we can actually feel someone else's breath and realize from their breath that maybe they're upset or they're happy or they're deeply relaxed. To feel where they're speaking from in their breath. You know, often I hear, I'll call them youngish people because everybody's youngish anymore. But on the radio, and they all seem to be talking from their throat. I can't even do it. Talking from their throat. Everybody's like this, talking from their throat. And I'm like, can't you guys just breathe? But it seems very strange to me. So, but lots of people talk from here, but experience life from here. And we want to experience life.
Their body is just something that carries their head around.
Yeah, yeah. And often we're in that mode, you know? So this is about... What's it about? It's about, you know, also experiencing this integration. Or also our disintegration. You know, it's not about one thing or the other. It's always changing. And it's not just that we're striving for integration, it's we're actually becoming conscious of what is and isn't integrated as well. And that's, in some funny way, that odd connection of what gets integrated and what's missing from the integration is what gives us who we are and how we are and how we respond to situations. And the experiment is to become conscious of those situations and to actually no longer feel limited by them. To accept fully this is how we are. And it's like this is how we are now. 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 This is how I am now. This is how I am now. This is how I am now. Rather than, this is how I am now forever.
Resisting
each other. And I'm in concrete, you know? Mm. You know? Tom will never change. Ever. You know? There you go again. So this process of becoming aware and sitting also gives us a way of seeing how carried away we can get when we're out there driving and the traffic isn't pleasant. Or when we have to fill out Medicare forms, you know, or something like that. I called, it took me, the first time I called Medicare.
Yeah, exactly.
They said, you know, and I was driving somewhere, and they said, oh, yeah, it'll take 40 minutes before you, and I said, let's see. Well, I'm driving, so I'll just wait. No answer. Oh, I have to go do what I have to do, turn it off. The second time it was somewhat similar, and then finally somebody answered. And I said I wanted to make an appointment to ask questions about this Medicare stuff and how it works and so on. I actually wanted to speak with somebody. And the guy said, well, you can fill it out online.
That answered that question.
And I said,
you hear what I said?
I said, I actually, or you can sign up with me over the phone now. And then I explained to him I was driving, so I didn't want to do that then. And then I asked him, well, when could I have an appointment? And there's only one number you call for all of Medicare, an 800 number, or an 857, or some number like that. And they make appointments for the whole country. They serve, they say, 50 million people. They say in their little message, this one phone number.
And they're in India.
So I say to the guy, well, when can I have an appointment in eastern Massachusetts, right?
Preferably in 2017.
Yeah. And he said, well, there are no appointments available till May. Mm. And I was calling in early February.
Start the process early.
So I laughed, and I said, holy mackerel. And, you know, the Cambridge office, the this office, the that office, I went through about six offices that were within 30 miles, say, and there was no place to go. I said, but by that time I'll be 65 and it's too late. He said, but that's okay. I have your social security number and we've started the process today.
Wow.
At any rate, then I went home and later that night and filled out the forms on the internet.
But the only important thing to know about that, right, is getting a supplemental policy, right?
Well, the only important thing to know about that from this lecture or this talk was that these are the things that carry us away, right?
Yeah.
So some of us, John, a while ago, would have been pissed off at this guy. But this guy is just doing his job to, you know, push people away, even though that's not what they describe it as. He's a customer service rep. But, you know, I remarkably enough, and I wish my wife was sitting next to me so she could see how far I'd come. That I wasn't explaining to the person how screwed up the system was, and, you know, you're just doing this, and that's blah, 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 and all this other stuff, you know. So, no, I said, oh, okay. And then I went home and filled them out on the internet. But that's sort of the thing that, if we're lucky, practice will do for us. Who was it? Oh, yeah, Sarah had a great experience. She's not here. So you know how we are with our spouses. We're doing something together, and they're doing something quite critical, right? Or seemingly critical. They're going to be moving from New Jersey to Portland, Maine. They haven't sold their house yet here, and they haven't exactly found a house there yet, except they found a couple of neighborhoods they like. And they're driving around Portland, Maine last week, taking care of the grandchildren and so on up there, looking at places. And her husband was complaining as they're driving through Portland about the traffic and the snow is too high and this, that, and the other thing. And Sarah said to him, but is this complaining helping anything? And he looked at her and didn't quite know what to do. And he said, oh. And kept going. And then Sarah and I talked about this a little later, a little further, and she said, you know, before I would have gotten cranky with him, I would have taken the hook of the complaints and turned it into a thing. But she recognized she didn't take the hook. You know? So how many times in our life do we take the hook? And this process helps us to stop taking the hook. And what that does is it actually helps the other person too. It doesn't spiral us into the garbage. And we're really good at spiraling into the garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, we can talk about Medicare and all that and the supplement and stuff later. Yeah.
It is almost 5:30.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Yeah. And I haven't even finished my blueberries.
Or drank your
or drank
cold
tea.
Cold tea.
The tea is still warm.
Oh, good. Okay.
But I hope we've had fun together. And I thank you all for practicing. And
yes, we always have fun together.
Yeah. And I hope I've communicated something that we can do here when we're sitting here thinking that we're supposed to be doing Shikantaza and having no idea what the hell it is. There's no way that we can, quote, do Shikantaza. Shikantaza happens. Mm. In fact, it's already happening, but we just keep hanging out with our thoughts. And this little bit that I described is what we can do to begin bringing our thoughts to some settled place where maybe for 32 seconds we let go. And the universe just says,
is it helpful to limit one's exposure to, you know, like, I almost feel a little weird or guilty or, not guilty, but like weird, like that I don't engage anymore. Like, I'm not even thinking about sailing this year because as much as I love the wind and the water and the sunshine, I'm basically dealing with people and gets competitive and there goes my centeredness or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, the more external stimuli, the more challenging. And I get confused about, then, what's life? You know, what is life and living?
So, I mean,
is it a commitment to this training, you know, that you give one up, you know?
It's no, like it's not about giving up that. But the process is actually watching ourselves. So, like, and then at some point being able to say, well, is that helping the situation? But mostly we're not helping the situation.
But to help yourself, like, it's helpful to maybe limit
exposure. It's helpful to limit exposure for some period of time.
Right.
So, like, taking the chocolate away.
Like 20 years.
Well,
or however long you need.
Or spending the day reading, like Sarah did the other day.
Yeah.
However, I thought Zen was all about action.
Yeah, but what is action? So the action, where does the action come from? And where does... so it's not necessarily about... it's about, quote, competition. So in order to find this place where you don't get thrown over by competition, it takes some effort. And it takes some close examination for a long period of time. It needn't be 20 years, but you don't just say, I'm going to be a bodhisattva and go down to the local crack den, you know, and start telling people you're going to help them. Likewise, maybe you don't, if you're in a situation that your life is, there's competition and comparison and...
challenging.
Ways of denigrating one another that's going on that aren't healthy to our states of mind. We can choose to not participate in that as much as possible. And then, of course, there are times when we're in them and don't have much to say, but we have to observe ourselves very closely and learn how not to be destroyed by them. And if we're in situations that are, I'll say, destroying us, even if it's incrementally, we have to find out what those are and how to change in relationship to them. And often in the midst of those is not the best way to do it.
Right.
That's all.
Like even going to the cocktail parties, you know, like I just don't have it in me to talk about stuff that I...
Well, that's,
you know,
totally
like,
okay.
I'm in the fight of my life,
well,
like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Well, but we all are. So,
yeah.
So, and this is important. The issue is, do the things that nourish us.
Right.
But if we find ourselves in other situations, we're there. That's
right,
okay.
Right, right.
But we don't have to seek out situations that won't be nourishing. That won't be helpful.
Right.
That will not contribute to our state of mind.
Yeah, and so then what gets tossed in me is like just a general looking at, like, wow, Leslie, like, now you're even giving up sailing or the boat club. Like, what is your life? You know, because I really don't want to do it, but some part of me thinks that I should be doing it. Like, I should be engaging. I should be sailing. It's a good thing. You know, people like me. You know, there are people. There's connections. But I'm not interested.
You know, I was, quote, a world-class, unquote, sailor. And I stopped sailing.
Right. For a similar...
You know, it was just...
Time.
It's over.
Yeah.
I don't feel the need to hang out.
Talk about.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. And I don't eat the food anymore. I don't drink alcohol anymore. You know, like,
yeah,
what
so
am
that's
I doing
totally
at this cocktail
okay.
party that I just paid $10 for?
Yeah, well, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, when it's time not to do something,
yeah. But, you know,
we
like
should
I'm saying,
wake up
like,
to that.
My world has gotten so limited as it is, and here I am even shaving off even more, you know?
Well, that's something for each of us, you know? There are many of us who are quite active at the same time, you know?
And I think there are seasons of busyness and then not
throughout
busyness.
The entire life.
Yeah.
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 So you just sit around and all of a sudden
but
you're
yet
caught
I feel
up in
more...
something else.
And it's almost because, like, I feel so much more awake or alive or in tune with myself that I don't have the energy to put externally and make small talk or, you know what I mean? It's almost like I'm trading one for the other.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it used to be, you may be not connected inside or whatever, and so everything is just external, and I wouldn't know what to do with myself without the external stimulus.
God forbid we should be forced to go to cocktail parties.
Oh.
It does happen.
Are we ready?
Ready.
I think she's ready.
Who is she?
Who's she?
Paula.
Are we done?
Yes.
We are so done. Thank you.
May
our
intentions
equally
extend
to every being and
place.
With the true merit of Buddha's way, beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to enter them. Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable, I vow to become it.
We should do all Buddha's ten directions, too.
All Buddha's ten directions three times. All at once, bodhisattvas, mahasattvas. Wisdom beyond wisdom, mahasattvas.